Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Again, it's another edition of Broad Talk Radio, presented to you by the Mad Dads. Remember, that's Men Against Destruction, defending against drugs and social disorders. We hope that your pending week has been well blessed. We hope that we all got the same positive feeling from the Martin Luther King birthday celebrations they had throughout the town yesterday. And we're here with another Blog Talk community gab session. We're going to be talking about the negative connotation between us raising our kids and the consequences of the behavior from that raising of our kids. We're going to call this From the Cradle to the Prisons. And we're here today with Mr. V.J. Smith, president and founder and national director of the Mad Dads organization. We're here with a guest, Patrick Baggett, and I'm V.J. Smith co-host, Gil Baggett. So again, we're going to welcome you to the program, and we want to tell you this is Tuesday night, and as with every Tuesday night, we have a community meeting support group over at Urban Ventures, and that's at 3023 4th Avenue South. That's every Saturday. Every Tuesday and Thursday from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So stop by and be a part of the topic today, okay? And again, today we're talking about From the Cradle to the Prisons.
And, you know, it's interesting to say that, Gil. I was just showing Gil that when you call in, they ask you if you want to be a host and talk with us. If you push that one, that gives us a question mark on the call, so we know that you want to talk to us. So we're looking forward to you calling in and talking on Blog Talk Radio. From the cradle to the prison system is something we got some serious issues with, because I was talking to a young man, and he told me that his uncle taught him something. He said, you fight until you win. He said, if you lose and you see the person that you lost to, you keep fighting him until you win. I said, where is he at? He said, he's in prison. I said, well, don't you think that he might tell you something different now that he's been in prison for so long? The things that he taught you were things that will get you straight from your cradle to your grave. Why would you tell somebody to keep fighting until they win? Because you may never win. The end might be you might get shot and killed, you know, because some people don't want to keep fighting. You know, eventually somebody got to lose. If you lose a fight, I was taught, you move on. You move on to the next reason to have to fight. You lost, you lost. I don't know where these new rules came in to fight till you win, but if somebody's in prison giving you that kind of information, that's sad. And that's what kind of things we're fighting against, is folks being in prison and giving our kids information and teaching them.
And it is. That's one of the fundamental lessons that we need to learn as parents, man, and as, you know, as potential role models and stuff, that, you know, that people are, that these kids are looking at our behavior, how we, you know, we deal with our problems, how we resolve different arguments and disagreements between each other, even in the home. You know, it all starts at the home. So you have to be a reflective message of the image that you're trying to project to your child. Because if your child perceives you to be a violent person, and every time he gets into an argument with somebody, or he gets into a misunderstanding with a child, he's going to resolve that problem the same way you and your wife, you and your girlfriend, or you as his role model, you know, resolve your issues. So it's important that we be aware of how we act, what we sound like, what type of music that we listen to, you know, what type of stimulus we allow off into the homes, because these things are being absorbed by our children and are being reenacted in their behavior. So what VJ was saying about the man being in the penitentiary, and he's giving these we can't call them false leads, because these are the leads in which he lives his life by, you know. So he's just passing on the information that he has on dealing with the problems that he deals with. What we're talking about is that we have to start examining the messages that are being brought to our children. Because if I tell my child that, hey, that it's not right to hit, and he sees me always hitting on people, pulling on him, snatching on him. It's a cross message, you know. He don't know what to let him decipher from your behavior, because your behavior is the only thing that's reflective of the things that you're saying to him. So we have, like, you know, we know y'all know that, you know, we ride the peace bus, and while we be on the bus, you know, we encounter young ladies that sometimes they're handling multiple children, two or more. And these people, we have another person coming on the line.
No. Question mark. They're listening. Okay. They're just listening right now.
Oh, they're just listening? What,
you'll see the question mark, a little question mark, sure, when they want to talk.
Okay.
So if you, we see you on the line. If you want to talk and be a part of the conversation, you just push one that lets us know that you want to talk. But thank you for being on the show. We appreciate you being on and listening on. Go ahead, Gil.
Okay. And, you know, and we listen to the way, the manner in which they talk to the children. You know, I understand that they're out there in the, on a bus in a public place and stuff, and the children have to be attentive to what the mother is trying to get them to do, or what them to be listening, to be obedient, and stuff like this. But then to some of the derogatory statements that they make to their children, when they be hollering at them, when they be pulling on them, when they be calling their little sons bees, and they call their little daughters bees. Like I'm visiting a guest today. He's another one. He rides on the bus with me, you know, and he's from Chicago. And I just wanted you to introduce yourself. Introduce yourself.
My name is Patrick Baggett.
And where are you from, Pat?
I'm from Chicago, the west side of Chicago.
Okay. So, you know, these incidents that I'm telling about, when we be on the bus and we be seeing these young mothers, how they handle their kids?
Yeah, I see them.
But sorry, you see them, and what I mean, what message would you be getting from, if you know, if you just being a total outside observer, and you know, you see the ladies talking to the kids in the manner in which they talk to their children, you know, what type of impression does that put leave upon you?
I always revert back to how my mother treated me, you know, and you know, my mother didn't treat us like that. My mother was a real mother, and when I see young ladies out here, you know, cursing their kids out, or their kids not clean, or their nose is running, or what have you. You know, it really saddens me, you know, because it's something that I just can't, it don't make sense. You know, she might have her hair all done up, her nails all done up, but a kid is looking like a little troll out there, and it's really sad, and it's really something for them to take a look at.
All right, but we're saying, but what type of information do you think those children are taking off the treatment that they're getting from mom?
They're gonna display the same attitude when they get bigger. They're gonna think this is the way to live. This is how, you know, you're supposed to treat people. So, you know, somebody got to break that cycle.
All right. So, do you think that's reflected to the how come our prison population is starting to swell with people up under the age of 25?
Yeah, it's due to that. It's due to that, because, you know, babies are having babies. And, you know, when the mother get 30 years old, you know, her son 15, and you know, she didn't teach him nothing then, and she didn't teach him anything. So she basically just left him out there to dry, you know, because she didn't instill no values in him. She didn't instill no wrongs and no rights in him. So he just strayed, you know. She left him to fend for himself, basically.
And you know, that's one of the things we listened to a story the other day about the kid that kept getting suspended from school at 10 o'clock every morning. He would do something at school, so he'd be kicked out of school. But he had to get kicked out of school because he had to go home, because his mom would stay up all night smoking crack cocaine. And he knew that she would be asleep till just about 10 o'clock, where she'd wake up wanting another hit. And if he wasn't there to protect his 4-year-old sister, she might get used as a pawned off, as a piece of meat to be used for another hit of crack. So he would get kicked out every day at 10 o'clock to run home to protect his little sister so that she would not get put in the midst of all the violence and drug abuse and all that. So what happens to a kid like that? What happens? He doesn't get educated. What happens to a kid that lives in fear like that? What happens? Well, of course, he begins to be the monsters that he sees every day. So he begins to go to prison. So cradle to prison is strictly about parenting. It really is. Anytime you tell your kid that we Crips for life, that we disciples for life, that we, you know, all of us, then he's gonna believe that.
Yeah, he's gonna believe
it. If you tell your kid that we're gonna be doctors and lawyers for life, he's gonna believe that. Daddy said, I'm gonna be a doctor. But if you're telling your babies that they're gonna be worthless for life because they're gonna be gang members for life, because your family, you grew up in that. I got kids right now that I'm dealing with. It says, when I go home, they're going to expect me to act like it's normal to be a gang member. It's normal for me to be a drug dealer. It's normal for me to be robbing stuff and stealing and beating up on folks. It's normal. It's not normal. That's how you go from the cradle to the prison. And we have got to be men to stand up and change that.
Amen. And that's so true, you know, is that we have to, as men, we have to hold on to the responsibility that we are the projection that we project and the imagery that we project to our children. We say one thing and we live another thing, you know? I mean, you know, you can't be so animated with your children on the disciplinary side, because it's always two layers, man, to a cake. You know, you got the outside, you got the inside, you know what I'm saying? But the ingredients are all the same. So we got to understand, man, that it's more to a problem that what lives upon the surface. Because if your child is acting out, you know, he's acting out because of a reason. So in order for you to be an effective, supportive parent, you have to get down to the source of his problem. You have to be able to talk to him. You got to be able to speak in the language in which he's speaking. And you've got to say, well, hey, man, what's up? We have another call on the line, and hello, caller. Hello, caller. It's a 5338 number. Are you online, caller? Hello. Okay, the 5338 number. We have you live on the station. But you just want to listen? Okay. All right, we have another number, 5270. Listener, are you there? The 5270 number? Okay, put you back on hold. You just want to listen. All righty. So, hello, caller. Hello? All right, so we're not having technical difficulties. Difficulties. The caller just wants to listen. But if you just want to listen, we appreciate to having you on the air with us today. Again, we're talking about effective parenting and positive imagery projection to our children. Because today we're dealing with a generation of kids who feel that it's appropriate to act inappropriate in displaying of their behavior, you know? And what I mean by that, we have so many kids today who feel that they have a right to say anything they want to say at any time they want to say it to anybody they want to say it to. Have you been, your experience, Patrick?
Yes, I have. I've experienced the fact that, you know, they don't respect. She wants to talk.
Oh. And what you say? Hello, caller. From a 6514 number. Hello.
Yes, hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic today. Good. So, were you in the program today?
Excuse me.
Were you listening to the program?
I just tapped in, so I haven't been listening.
Okay. All right. Today we're talking about from the cradle to the prison. We're saying that how our behavior is justifying our kids' misbehavior.
Right.
That kids are watching what their parents is doing. You know, goes back to that old cliche statement. You remember that? Don't do what I do as I say.
Yes.
And we know that's been an ineffective tutorage tool for centuries.
Okay.
You know, that kids are going to act and do how their parents act and do.
Yes, sir.
You know, and we know that has been conducive to the overcrowd in our prisons, you know, where we have children killing children killing children. We having babies having babies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all these things that come about by the behavior that is displayed in the parents.
Yes, that's
so
true.
What do you think about that?
Well, personally, these kids today, they really are disrespectful. And I guess that is the truth. Their mother and their fathers aren't telling them, you know, the appropriate way to talk or to act in certain situations. And that comes to effect because some of them don't have a parent, two-parent home. Some of them just have a one-parent home. And that does affect children. So sometimes you have to look at that point also, you know. I personally am a single mother, but I do get help from my son's father. And we are very adamant about making him a thinking man. And I do have a young daughter. She's 8 months, and I'm going to instill that in her also, even though she's a woman. So,
okay.
Yes, we do have the youth acting out because no one's telling them, you know, what's right and what's wrong. So that goes to say to the parents, you know, that goes to say that the parents need to be more effective in their raising. It's not a perfect, you're not perfect. No parent is perfect raising kids, but you still have to know right from wrong and know what your kids can do and what they cannot do. Because then when they get 14 and 15 and want to act out, that you're supposed to have cut that at 2. Or maybe 1.
Okay. I agree with you 100% what you just said. Because you know, you have to, I met a lady and she had us come over to her home. She said, "I want you to speak to my two kids for me." You know what I'm saying? She said, "I can't tell them nothing. They're uncontrollable. They destructive. You know, they won't do anything I tell them to do. If I ask them to do this, we say, all right, we're going and we're going to talk to these kids." When we get over there, it was a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Oh, you thought you were going to come. You thought you were going to be talking to teenagers.
I thought we were going to be talking at least some pre-teenagers or something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
At least 12-year-old.
Right.
And it was little bitty kids, you know what I'm saying, under 3 feet tall. Sitting
there,
big, you know, that's causing this woman all type of mental stress and everything else. She's talking about she was going to the hospital and all these other stuff, you know. And I'm like, wow. Children. And I'm saying, these type of behavior that you were supposed to let it be in the dress when these kids were 1, 2, 3 years old.
Yes, sir.
It's never supposed to add up to this.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Now it's going to take a human effort. More than a superhuman effort in order to let them get these kids to understand that they got to reverse this type of negative behavior.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, that people live here and they look at our communities and stuff, they look at our schools, and they say the different deplorable conditions in which our school, because we have children going to school today, that's destructive, you know? They tear up the school. You know what I'm saying? They break the pencils. They tear the paper up. You know what I'm saying? They write on the desk and all this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? They do all other things that's not required of them and stuff. They do these things in a manner of which they're trying to act out. You know?
Yep.
And we know that the behavior they're displaying and stuff is the behavior that. It's come from behavior they have witnessed in their homes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like VJ said about the story we heard about the child that he wanted to protect his sisters and his other little brothers, his little brother and his little sister. So he used to get himself kicked out of school to go home.
Right.
You know, that's a sad story, you know. But I also know this is a very true and a very realistical condition in our community today.
Yep.
You know, let me tell you what
reality.
I mean. You have,
I said that's reality.
Yeah, that's reality, and it's a sad reality. You know,
yes, it is.
Because today we are first with some very disturbing facts of our community, you know what I'm saying, that's only reflective in the black and the brown community. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, by that, you know, it's a lot of people you can figure into that. You know what I'm saying? We know we have Caucasians. We know we have Indians. We have Native Americans. We have Miles. We have everybody who's inside of this poverty syndrome, you know,
mm-hmm.
that these families that I'm not that's making less than $30,000 a year, and they got to take that $30,000, they got to support anywhere between 4 and 6 siblings, you know,
yep.
and that financial burden that's put upon who's ever providing the services to that family is multiplied by 1,000 as far as like the different wares and tears and concerns that person would have, the needs that have to be met, you know,
by one parent
at home,
mm-hmm.
by one parent at home, like you yourself, you have 2 babies, you know, you're a single parent, you know, but you say you do have subsistence from the father, you
yes,
know,
sir.
But the bulk of the psychological maturity of the child and the stability of the family is basically your responsibility.
Yep. It really is. It's just I feel like some mothers don't think it's all their responsibility, but in the interim, you have to think about these are your kids, and if the father's there or not, you still have to go to the highest point to take care of them and make sure that they're going to be well-rounded individuals 10 years from now. You know what
so,
I mean?
So it's sound reason to believe that your children are not going to be a part of the recidivism rate of going from the cradle to the prisons.
Right. See, that's what I'm trying. See, I'm not going to guarantee anything because, you know, when my kids get older, they have to make their own decisions. But I hope that when they're going to make a bad decision, my voice rings into their head. Like,
amen.
Mama told me don't do that. I remember this is something I'm not supposed to be doing. I hope and pray that's what I've instilled with them, all that hollering. I'm trying to, you know, tell my son things and tell my daughter things and instill and hope that they really think about the consequences. Like I tell my son, it's always consequences to what you do. You do something you don't got no business at school, mommy's going to find out. So you can't hide anything from me. So I had to instill that in him right at that point because he didn't think that. But I guess he started figuring it out when he started going to school, and I know everything, and I pop up at everything, and I make sure he knows that I know.
Hey, there you go.
Right.
We have to be inactive in our children's lives.
Yes, sir.
And that's what you said about giving the child some guidance now, and giving them some parental discretion.
Mm-hmm.
That when he does find himself in one of those situations, that he'll know how to let him make a clean and positive decision. I think the Bible speaks on that. It says,
right.
Bring up a child in which way you want that child to be.
Mm-hmm.
That in time of trouble, the child will reach back off into that understanding.
Right.
You know, put itself
right.
back on level ground.
Right. Let them know that right is right, and, you know, right is right, and wrong is wrong. And two rights don't make it wrong. You still don't. You do things, you think about what you have to do first before you engage in anything. That's anything. If you want to go to college and you know that you want to go to college, then you think about that long and hard before you enroll in college. You make sure that that's something that you want to do, that you're going to see out. You know, you have to make sure that your kids see things through. So I, you know, keep them in sports, make sure they're a team player. You know, you're not the only one raising your child. Your kids are going to be school. You got to make sure they're, you know, they're going to be interacting with different people in life and different situations. You got to talk to them about different things in life also. Ask them how their day was every day they get in the car with you, every day you get home. You ask them,
yep.
How was your day? So I've noticed that because I do that all the time with my son. I've noticed he's been asking me about how my day going.
That's, well, you know, that's, you know, that's a part. That's a part of teaching. That's a part of teaching right there. You know, mm-hmm. when you have positive feedback to what you what you're trying to project to your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we're talking about here today. It's from the prison, from the cradle to the prisons. That a lot of our children are being lost. You know, through the music that they listening to. You know, I mean that when I was a younger man, I just didn't think there was any problem with the music that was out there, you know?
Yes, sir.
You know, but people was telling us, you know, hey, man, that music there is going to come back to haunt you. And the reason I think the relevancy of that statement is because, like, Lil Wayne, Chizzy, and T.I. and all them other people that's out there putting that music out there and stuff, they don't let their children listen to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't inundate their children with the music that's making them money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because they understand the negativity of the music in which they're putting out there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they say the only thing my child listens to and stuff is saying if he chooses to listen to the radio and stuff, he's not going to hear my voice coming through there saying wah, wah, woo. Not unless he goes over to one of his friend's house and he has to hear. Then I have to lay up here and I have to explain to him that it's only business. This is what I've heard Lil Wayne say often to an interview. You know? So I see the callousness of his irresponsibility of wanting to take responsibility for the negative that he's putting out in our communities. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times it takes, you know, it doesn't take a lot. I see, you know, just to bring this in, is that we have, we have children. Four. Did you hear that on the news today? Where that 5-year-old a boy stabbed, he stabbed 3 people in his family.
No, I didn't. Wow.
Yeah, he stabbed 3. He stabbed 3 people over one of those small boxes of juice.
Uh huh. Oh, what? Really?
He stabbed 2 of his siblings and he stabbed his father.
Oh my goodness.
You know, see, and you know, I have to ask myself, what promoted that child's reaction to being denied something? You know.
Mm-hmm.
See, this goes back into the environment in which that child exists in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? See, because like you ever seen that movie when Raised by Wolves?
No, I haven't.
But you heard of it?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Okay, it's about a little boy that got left by his family out on a trip, a camping trip. He walked off into the woods, got lost. And his family of wolves took him into the cave, and they raised him as a wolf.
Okay.
You know, he was running with the pack. He was eating raw meat. He was doing all these other stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
He was very aggressive because it was a male's dominated a pack where the male representation of power was force, that they fight and they bite and they tag each other and stuff like that. So when the child later up and he found out that he was a wolf, he started acting like a wolf. So when they came and they rescued him and stuff, he got around other kids, he would just take their food and beat them up and stuff like this, you know?
Wow.
So what I'm saying is that your child is going to act the way you raised that child to act.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you can if you want to put something positive in your child, you have to start putting something positive in that child when that child becomes conscious. When he starts being able to talk, when he starts being able to talk back and reason, you know, you have to stop. So again, you know, we want to thank all y'all who called in today to Blog Talk Radio. This is the Mad Dad production. We're going to be here every Tuesday from 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock. We have another segment that's going to come on about 15 seconds after this section stops. And we ask that you return and talk to us. A caller, it was very nice listening to you. You're very intelligent. I really enjoyed your mothering.
Okay, thank you. I tried.
All right, no, I mean you're doing a good job. I like you. Know what I'm saying, just having that attitude is gonna push you over the edge. So again, thank you for calling a Blog Talk Radio. It's been a Mad Dash production, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, so we're right back.
Yeah, that means that we're right back.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
I just want to say, man, y'all doing a great job. Cradle to Prison is a serious thing. And, you know, if you got kids out there and you know that your kids are around the environment, you know that you're selling dope, you know that you up and down that pole dancing, you know that you got tricks coming in the house, you know that you're shooting heroin in the bathroom, but you think that they don't know what you're doing. You know that you got that Brillo pad and that stem under the mattress.
And ain't no pots and nothing getting washed.
Yeah, ain't nothing getting done. and they eating those oodles and oodles of noodles and noodles. Yeah. And they ain't had a real meal in a long time. Matter of fact, you haven't took them to the church. Only time y'all go to church and y'all walking by going to the liquor store. There's something wrong. If you don't think your kids are going to begin to gravitate to what you are, you better watch it. Because just because the kids say, I ain't going to never be like my mom and my daddy, that's most of the time that's what they end up being like.
Yep. And what he mean by I'm not going to be like them, it means that I'm going to be better than them. And all you got to do is just fall that back to the root. You know what I'm saying? Let's break that back down, man, saying through, like, mathematical logistics, man. He said, I'm going to be better than my dad. I'm going to be better than their mama. And mama a crackhead and daddy a gangbanger, a blunt smoker. So what is he saying? You know, when I get older, man, you know, I ain't going to smoke no bunk weed. I'm going to smoke that number one grade weed. You know?
Kush.
You know, I'm going to be smoking Kush. You know? I ain't going to be like my mama. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to have me no one, you know, no five or six different men running up out of my house and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to have me one trick. You know? I mean, people look at this and they laugh and they say that stuff is lunacy. But, man, all we got to do, man, fam, is just go outside our communities, man, and look at the block, man. Check the block out. You know what I'm saying? Look and see, man, saying what your children are doing. Look and see what your children are going to. Look and see who your children are hanging out with. Man, that's just common sense stuff. You know what I'm saying? Most of us are sitting up here, man, saying with these children out here, we don't even know our children's friends. And the reason we don't want to know our children's friends because we don't want our children to know that we're copping from them. You know? So these are the things that we're talking about from the cradle to the grave. What are you doing to ensure that your child makes it on somebody's docket number in order to live here and perpetuate their child's economical growth? Because we got prison guards, man, that handing their jobs over to their sons and daughters. Ain't that right, Patrick?
Absolutely.
You know, so what we're talking about here is that, man, you know, people act like they scared of their kids, man. Kids are taking over the whole house. We understand we have one-parented families out there where the mom's got to go to work in the morning, you know. She got maybe have a 12-year-old that she feels that responsible enough to make sure the kids get on the bus when the bus comes, or make sure they're going to be able to get them up to go and take them to school and stuff like that. But they don't know what's happening inside their house once they get on that bus or once they pull their car and they go to work. You know, you have to have somebody, a parent must know that he has raised somebody responsible enough to leave in charge of his home. We are not laying up here, you know what I'm saying, with rose-colored glasses and thinking all this stuff is going to be easy. We're talking about, man, this is going to be some hard decisions that's going to have to be made in our community in order to save the lives of our children. So, Mr. Patrick, again, you know, it's been brought to my attention, man, you know what I'm saying? You've been to prison, right?
Yeah.
And can I ask you that when you was living with your parents and stuff, and you said that your parents were very positive to you. They showed you a lot of positive messages, gave you a lot of positive directions and stuff like that. But then you took your life in your own hand.
Yes, I did.
All right, and then that's when you started doing what? Going to the block?
That's when my life started going down the drain. When I decided to do what I wanted to do and not take heed to the things that my parents told me. And now that I look back on it, you know, my mother and father has never told me nothing wrong. All the bad decisions I've made in my life, I made a conscious decision to make those decisions. And they was very detrimental decisions to my, especially to my freedom. And, you know, hey, man, hey, kids, you got to listen to your parents. You got to understand that, you know, what y'all going through, they done did it. What y'all want to do, they done did it. So, you know, my advice to you, listen to your parents, especially if they tell you something right. Now, those parents that's walking around smoking weed in front of their kids and buying drugs from their kids, you know.
But you can't be an effective parent if you buying drugs from your kids?
No, you can't.
Well, I can't tell my kid what to do, man, if I'm smoking blunts.
No, you can't, because they're not going to take you serious. They're not going to take you serious.
I'm going to beat on them.
Well, then, you know they got this thing that, you know, kids, they smart enough now to call the police on their own parents because
Amen.
They're not getting taught right.
Amen.
You know, in my day, I would have never thought about calling the police on my mother, father's phone. Calling the police? No. No.
Yeah.
So, you know, parents really got to pay attention to what they do and what they say around these kids, because these kids are smarter than what we give them credit for, and they only going to display what they see and what they know and what they hear. So
that's
you got
so
to
true.
Be conscious of the things that you do as a parent, you know. And I think, you know, once you become a parent, you know, your life is not even your life anymore. You know, a real parent, you know, makes the ultimate sacrifice. It's about your kid, and they growing up being productive, responsible, and respectful citizens. You know, so, you know, just be careful what you do and say in front of your kids.
Yeah, so, you know, I agree with that 100%, you know what I'm saying? I mean, because, like, you know, a lot of people in our communities, a lot of, you know, women in our communities, a lot of men in our communities, they feel that the only thing they have to do, like they say, man, I'm going to hit that, you know? I'm going to, you know, man, I'm, you know, she, and you know, she, women be saying, hey, you know what I'm saying, that I'm going to get with him, you know, and they don't understand the negative consequences that come from this bad relationship, because here it is, you know, he's unemployed, you know, she's unemployed, he's living with his parents in a basement, you know what I'm saying? Or she's living in a situation where that the home is overcrowded, the financial revenue is not sufficient enough to lay up here, suffice the house. So hey, so those are a bad decision made between two and adult people who think that hey, I'm grown. You know what I'm saying? Can't nobody tell me what to do because I'm grown. And this conversation is going on between a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Neither one of them has finished high school. Neither one of them has any means of support. You know? Neither one of them has a home in which to live up here and call their own. You know, this year they all of them are being subsisted and living by other people, mostly by retired parents.
You know what I call that? Blind leading the blind.
It is, man. I mean, and then when you sit up and you try to talk to people like this, the first thing it is that they think that, you know, that this thing called life is so uncomplicated. You know, I'm just going to let Peter stay to take care of my babies. I ain't got to worry about no man doing nothing for me and drag them down to welfare and say, well, hey, here, these are my kids. I ain't got nobody to take care of them, and I'm doing it by myself. And they get on some type of social relief. So what I'm saying is that, now, don't get me wrong, man. We're not sitting up here downing the public assistance, you know what I'm saying, department, because I feel it's a very needed commodity. It was in our community. What we're saying, that we're talking about those people who think they can drop out of high school and get on welfare and take care of kids. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about people who think they don't have to do anything, you know what I'm saying, but lay down on their backs and have babies, you know, and then have other people to take care of their responsibility.
Not only do they have one, they have two and then three.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, and we're not, now let's understand this here. We're not sitting here nagging down or talking down to young women who are having babies. We're not doing that. What we're talking about is the responsibility clause that comes with that. You know, that everything is put on a rush scale today. You know, kids so hurt in a rush to lay up here to be 21 years old. Mm. And when you ask them, why do you want to be 21? So I can go ahead and get me, I can go to the liquor store, I can go to the lounge, I can go to this, I can do that. You know, and I'd be like, you know, dude,
wow.
You know, that ain't nothing to be sitting up in and being in such a rush for. You know what I'm saying? Who has told you that something is so great? Because you let people, we look at our programs, we kids want, what's that, 20 Jump Street, whatever it is, that dance show, what it is, on BET.
106 and Park.
106 and Park. I can blow it up. Man, because, man, here it is, you know what I'm saying? We want our children not to enjoy the child part of their development. You know what I'm saying? Somehow our children become so commercialized with so many indignated ideas and materialism projected in their head. You got to wear this. You having 12-year-old girl, 13-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl with eyeshadow, makeup, high heel shoes, bunion type, with apple bottom jeans and all this other crazy stuff, man. I'm saying that they's trying to live up to the expectations of some grown adult. You know what I'm saying?
And BET don't do nothing but deliver subliminal messages.
And all it is, just living with subliminal messages. You go to a teenage dance today. All they do, what do? They sit up there, man, and they give each other lap dances. So we saying, man, where is this stuff coming from? This stuff, man, saying is being produced, projected, and placed in our communities, man. You know, our kids sit in schools today, and they think that it's cool for you to have a telephone, your cell phone in the classroom. They texting and all this other stuff to somebody in the same room they in. So what we saying, man, is that parenting has to come to a drastic halt, you know. And we don't want nobody to get us twisted in this here. But we understand that there's some terrific parents out there. There's some parents that's struggling with this stuff that we're talking about every day. You know what I'm saying? They have made just like that one sister that left from the program today. She said, "My babies is not gonna be from the cradle to the prison." She said, "It ain't happening like that in my house."
And see, they got to understand, you know, because you're a mother don't make you a parent. Because you're a father don't make you a parent.
Man, don't say that. Don't start giving them too much truth now.
You know, it's what you instill in your kids, the values, make them be better persons, make them be better people than what you were. You know?
That's
teach
right.
them that they are incredible, that they can do anything.
That's right.
You know, don't cheat them out of their life.
That's right.
Because you don't want to stray in yours.
That's right, again.
And I'm not saying that to get down on anybody. You know, I'm just saying that, you know, just to be mindful. You know, you got to be careful who you have these babies by, you know.
And again, you know, we want to let you know this is Blog Talk Radio, a Mad Dad production. It's Men Against Destruction, Defending Against Drugs and Social Disorders. And this is one of the social disorders that we're going to have to lay up here and fight, man. Because just like on Soweto, man, and when they brought down apartheid in South Africa, man, they had hundreds of thousands of misinformed children. Children that didn't have nothing to fight for anymore. And when they started understanding that they had won the battle, the next battle they had to win was the battle against themselves, man. That's what we're facing in this country right now today. We have children who are taking over their homes. We have parents who are scared of their children. We have parents who are scared to be parents to their children because they don't want to argue with their daughter. They don't want to fight with their son. You know, these are battles and these are confrontations that we're going to have to start winning in this community. We're going to win this war that's being waged against us. So, again, man, we're just so proud that we have a chance to address these issues on this open speech. And we want to thank you for those who participated to it with us today. And we just want to just pray for your families. We want to pray for your situation. We want to empower you as parents. We want to give you the permission to be all that you can be and allow your child to be all that they can be. That you got to remember, you ain't your child's friend. You are your child's parent. You know, I'm not your child. I'm not my child's friend. You know, I am his father. And we have to start taking those responsibilities. We have to get back to the days, man, when you could tell your child that when those street lights come on, I want your butt parked on this front porch. You know, we have to be the same parents that have to ask our children and stuff. Did the teacher give you some homework today?
Absolutely.
Where is that? So again, man, we want to just thank y'all so much for being here today. And we want to further extend our invitation that that we see y'all again here next week. And we want you to go with God. We want you to have a God conscience. We want you to lay up here